Thank you very much for having me come and discuss kind of what I'm doing right now, looking at some interesting features in late-stage petrocalcic horizons in Nevada. So thank you to the organizers of the session for inviting me to do so. The work that I'm going to present now is kind of a project I've been working on for the past couple of years with an undergraduate student, Sarah Morgenthaler. And we're at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And this work occurs in Nevada. So petrocalcic soil horizons are those that develop through an alluvial accumulation of carbonate minerals to the point of cementation or induration. And they're widely documented in the southwestern United States and in other arid and semi-arid regions around the globe. And as Ron covered, I'm going to cover again, stages of calcium carbonate morphology over time, as first formulated by Guile and others from the Desert Project. We have in fine-grained materials, filaments, and faint coatings in the initial development of carbonates in these soils, and in gravelly horizons, slight coatings on the undersides or tops of pebbles. In stage two, we see the development of nodules and in gravelly soils, more continuous pebble coatings with some interpebble fillings. Stage three is when the carbonate begins to plug the pore space to develop more of a petrocalcic horizon, and that occurs in both the fine grain and coarser materials. That plugging then causes the development of a laminar cap, which we would indicate as stage four. And later, late stage development, two stages were added by Bachman and Michette in 1977 that included thicker lamina in the laminar cap of greater than 1 centimeter and the formation of pyzoliths in the soil, and that would indicate a stage five morphology and stage six morphologies developed from multiple brecciation and re-cementation from cycles of erosion through climate change and geomorphic activity. And so my work mainly focuses, in my work in the past and today, kind of focuses on these later stage petrocalcic horizons and how those morphologies develop. And some preliminary work that I've done that shows that some of these pyzolith forms may develop through different processes than what we have thought in the past. Okay, so late stage, again, these late stage carbonate soils develop through multiple cycles of erosion and deposition and re-cementation that can include incorporated pendants and pyzoliths. And so some of my past work, I've looked at the development of the Mormon Mesa landform that is located north of Las Vegas, Nevada. So here's Las Vegas. This is a prominent Mesa landform that has the stage six petrocalcic horizon. It formed from the downcutting of the Virgin River coming out of the Virgin River Gorge in Utah and the Muddy Creek, and those two river systems flow to the Overton arm of Lake Mead, which doesn't look like this now. There's no water in this section of that lake, and connects to the Lake Mead where the Colorado River flows out of the Grand Canyon. And so my past work looked at the development of the stage six Mormon Mesa soil, and through interpretation of the morphological features, these pyzoliths and pendants that were rotated and reincorporated, we came up with a model of development for this soil. And that was that the Miocene, Pliocene, Muddy Creek formation was deposited. It's a mixture of fine-grained Aeolian sand and silt, and with gravel lenses deposited throughout. and that there was an initial accumulation to stage three of petrocalcic soil horizon at depth that then was subsequently eroded, and these pendants and pyzoliths were upturned and brecciated and then reincorporated into aeolian materials where further cementation and brecciation through climate change, bioturbation, caused further mixing of these materials and cementation, and then that culminates into the morphology and the horizons at Mormon Mesa that we see today. And so this is a shot of Mormon Mesa. There's the brecciated horizon. This is what we would call the massive horizon that contains the rotated pendants and pyzoliths over that lesser indurated, older, stage three-ish horizon below. Right, so we interpreted this genesis through those morphological features. And when we look at those features in plan view, we see pyzoliths, some with nuclei, with concentric laminated carbonate. And then in profile view, you have masses of carbonate that we interpreted to be from the lower transitional horizon, that initial stage three horizon that were brecciated and brought up into the massive with pendant lamina underneath. We also noticed a unique mineral assemblage in these late stage soils that these minerals indicated processes such as post-induration force of crystallization growth that release silicon, magnesium, aluminum into solution, high pHs in the carbonate environment, and also higher pHs at the surface from sodium carbonate salts would also contribute silicon and aluminum into solution. We also recognize the addition of dust into bringing ions into the soil from exposed playas during drier times and wetting events that would flush those ions down into the soil profile. And those ions would include such things as barium, sulfur, sodium, and other salt-related ions. And so the combination of these in the soil profile formed minerals such as polygorskite and sepulite clays, these fibrous magnesium silicates, and And you can see these all. I'm going to show a lot of scanning electron microscope images, and they're all going to be in backscatter mode, so we can get a sense of chemical differences in the image. If you see lighter colored materials, it indicates heavier elements present in those minerals. Darker may indicate voids or a lighter element. So fibrous silicate clays like polygorskite, in this case around a grain undergoing alteration. Here's the fibrous silicate clays here with a carbonate matrix. We also see accumulations of silica and accumulations of euhedral barite crystals in void spaces and in association with those fibrous silicate clays. So this is what we see at Mormon Mesa, the stage six soil. And there are challenges, right, in understanding the development of these soils. But I think it's an important challenge to take on because Mormon Mesa and these other larger late-stage petrocalcic horizons hold a record of paleoclimate and geomorphic activity over the time of their development. And so we hopefully someday will be able to date these features and these processes, apply isotopic techniques. But in order to do that, we need to understand the timing and the complexity of these features in order to reason out their formation. So when I was doing my work at Mormon Mesa, I noticed that there was a lack of carbonate class in the Mormon Mesa petrocalcic horizons. There were plenty of chert gravels and other lithologies of gravels within the soil, like in this slab here from the Hell's Kitchen profile on the mesa. But there are local sources of carbonates, but I was never able to observe them in the Mormon Mesa soil horizon. And one soil profile that I sampled as part of that previous work had abundant carbonate gravels, but most of them were partially gone, eaten away with large voids at their tops. And I also noticed through a mapping project of the area that there were younger soils that sit adjacent to the Mormon Mesa surface that are on fluvial terraces, and they also contain abundant carbonate gravels and void features that indicate that are part of the original gravel material, and also in one profile actually cut through matrix materials along with the incorporated gravels. And so this was a chance to look at the development of pedogenic features from the Pliocene, Miocene, Mormon Mesa surface, including the younger early Quaternary, mid-Quaternary fluvial stream terraces that have these interesting features. And so it's our opportunity to see the development of these over that time period. So what we did is we sampled at Mormon Mesa, Nevada. So here's the Mormon Mesa landform. This is I-15 that stretches up across the mesa top and towards Mesquite, Nevada. M5 is a profile that we sampled just off the edge of the classic Mormon Mesa surface, going down into Halfway Canyon Wash. FT1 is a kind of a terrace remnant that sits down in the wash, elevated up from the current wash today. And then over between the towns of Overton and Logandale, we sampled a similar surface to FT1, which we call FT2. So M5 sits at the same elevation as Mormon Mesa, but it shows evidence that it is younger in age, and it doesn't have the development of carbonate that Mormon Mesa does. It doesn't have the induration that Mormon Mesa does, and it also has chunks of petrocalcic, rounded petrocalcic material in it. And if you can see here, here's one of those carbonate clasts that are included in the profile where half of the clast is missing, and it shows solution features on the top side, leaving a very large void at the top. FT1 down the halfway wash area is also a soil that's formed on fluvial gravels derived from the Mormon Mountains, and those are to the north. It contains abundant carbonate materials and other mixed lithologies. And in this case, this material showed voids that cut not only through the gravels themselves, but through the matrix material. And I'll show some of those in the slides that follow. Finally, FT2 is the surface down between Overton and Logandale, and this is also a gravel-rich parent material that formed on fluvial gravels from the North Muddy Mountains and also contains a mixture of clast lithologies and is similar to FT1, and in fact was initially mapped and described by Gardner as the Overton surface. And that would also be what FT2 is. So what we did, we took petrocalcic blocks that were extracted with a diamond tip saw and took those and cut them into about two centimeter wide slabs with a water saw. And these select thick sections were made of matrix and gravels that showed alteration of gravel and matrix materials, and we put them under the SEM with an EDS. We also extracted powder with a diamond tip Dremel tool to try to eliminate any extra materials from the matrix, altered class, and unaltered class materials to look at total elemental composition with ICP and also to analyze the mineralogy with XRD. So slabs from these profiles. Here's FT2. Here's a couple of slabs from FT2. And as you can see, there is a large clast here showing some alteration on the top, noticed through a color change. Here you can see another gravel that has vertical tubular voids cutting through it with an upper altered portion. Down in this sample of FT2, you can see many large void areas within these gravels with tops altered on these clasts. In FT1, here's an example of those voids that cut through both the matrix materials and through the gravels themselves. So these tubular voids also commonly have white precipitates at the tops of the voids. And you can see that throughout actually many of the samples from FD2, M5, and FD1. So here's an example of a slab from M5 with the upper part of the gravel with a large void developed, and there's some of the white precipitates at the top of that void. When we zoom in and look at them a little closer, right, we can see alteration at the top with the large voids developed, tubular voids stretching throughout the clasts. Down here you can see a gravel that is almost completely altered. There are the tubular voids cutting through and alteration cutting through that gravel. These markers are millimeters on the ruler. And then here's a zoom into that M5 slab with the altered material at the top. FT1, there is a slab zooming in to see the gravels with alteration on the tops with infilling white precipitates. This gravel is almost completely altered at its top with a remnant bit of clast material towards the bottom, and in all of these images, the top is up. Right. Here's an example of the tubular voids cutting through the matrix material and the gravel. Right. So the tubes are cutting through matrix and through the gravels, altering with white precipitates filling those tubes, and then another altered clast at its top. And then finally, FT2, very similar views of gravels in those slabs. And so I want to show this because we have some extra data from a past project that I worked on with Tom Elliott and published in SSSAJ, where we took blocks of petrocalcic material, these all from the Mormon Mesa surface itself, and I included one in the scans of this. This is from FT1 to take a look at these vertical voids that cut through. I was interested in applying micro CT scanning to these materials because as we cut the samples open, material fell out into the saw. And so these would be the alteration products. And so we would have no idea what the spatial arrangement of this material was. So we applied CT scanning mainly to look at barite in this study because barite shows up bright white dents in these scans. But I did include this. And interestingly, this 3D visual, if we were to rotate it, we can see these voids. So the darker areas are airspace, and then the brighter areas are denser materials. So within these voids that we haven't opened up and lost the material, we can see that it appears there's loose material that's fallen to the bottom of them, and then there's this weird thing, you know, maybe it's a remnant clast. but you can see that these voids are also not interconnected throughout these materials. So through these initial observations, we notice, we see the alteration occurs after induration for these big void spots to remain, and that there's top-down alteration because the clasts are altered on their tops, and the FT1 has alteration of matrix and clast materials in these narrow tubular voids. And so these soils at Mormon Mesa aren't the first to be described as having these types of features. So at the Kyle Canyon Fan and the soils that were examined there by Reheis and Sowers et al., they had a couple of their older surfaces where they described partially dissolved and broken class and limestone class etched and dissolved into cup shapes. But there was no thorough description of any of the altered products that would be at the tops. So I don't know if those were present. And then in 49, Bretson Horberg described solutional reduction features, and they actually concluded that these class actually weathered into nodules in petrocalcic horizons. So our questions were, what do these solution features reveal about chemical change over time in these late-stage horizons? What processes lead to class dissolution and alteration with no effect on matrix materials, so as in FT1 and M5? And are there matrix mineralogy differences, chemical differences? And then how do these affect morphological feature interpretation? So my idea was that there were chemical differences between matrix materials and the class. And my idea was that we would see dolostone or magnesium-rich materials preferentially being altered out of the soil. And that means that FT1 with the voids through the matrix materials should also have an increase in magnesium in those matrix materials. And so we examined some of these altered class with the SEM. Here's a class. So in this case, this is top, is pointing to the right. The altered surface of this pebble shows an unaltered portion with the altered portion here, and when we zoom in, we see dolomite crystals that have been etched and pitted. And then down this small little gravel here shows similar pattern of etching. We see an unaltered portion of the clast with dolomite crystals showing alteration. And if we zoom in, this is interesting. We can zap in a dolomite crystal that doesn't appear to be very altered, but next to it is an altered dolomite crystal that also is showing a fibrous, has a fibrous morphology to the edges, and when we zap it with the EDS, it actually has an increase in silica signature. And then we examined the two clasts, one sitting on top of the other, one being a limestone, one being a dolostone, where we have the clast material, the boundary with the matrix is here. This is a limestone, large calcite crystals. Here's where the material is altered, and when we zoom into this area, we see pitted and altered calcite and dark spaces showing increase in silicon and magnesium. Down in the dolostone class, we look at an area of alteration along a small crack. We see dolomite crystals, and zooming in the SEM, in backscatter mode, we see a lightening, and when we zap it with the EDS, it is calcite in the areas of alteration. So more SEM images of altered material at the top. Here we zoom in. This is the small billet we examined from that area. We have matrix material that has the rounded detrital component. Here's the altered, has a signature of calcite. And when we zoom in, there's the original unaltered limestone material. And then when we zoom in to the more altered section, we see the pitted solution weathering section of limestone. So there's a dolostone class, there's limestone class, all undergoing alteration. Another gravel down here, we see a piece of the remnant original material that's zoomed in here. That darker area shows increase in magnesium in the EDS. So there's the dolomite class boundary. When we get into the altered material, we see dolomite ROMs separated by calcite. And if we zoom in, we can see those ROMs and the calcite filling in there. And then the white precipitates show up as sparry calcite that are filling those void spaces. All right. I'm going to go ahead and go forward. And then, yeah, when we look at these white precipitates, we see the sparry calcite infilling those. XRD results, we have a clast that we took the altered and unaltered part. The unaltered portion showed a dolomite signature. The unaltered showed calcite, so a loss of magnesium there. But in this case, we have a limestone that has a calcite signature in its altered section. When we utilized total elemental ICP just to look at magnesium composition to see if there were any big differences between matrix and the materials that were being altered and unaltered, and we didn't really find any significant differences between the materials. And so I can kind of quickly go through some of these. The magnesium percentages are all relatively close in the unaltered, altered, and even in the matrix materials. And so due to time, I'm going to kind of move forward a little bit here. Okay, this would be a class that was richer in magnesium. It's some of the highest magnesium we saw in the ICP. So in summary, both limestone and dolostone are both subject to alteration with no clear evidence for selective removal of only magnesium-rich materials. And there's a range in crystal textures affected as well. There's evidence of clay needle formation in the altered areas, and we see that in the SEM, but not necessarily in the XRD because of the overwhelming signature of the carbonate minerals. So the process of de-dolomitization could explain the alteration of magnesium-rich dolostone materials, but it doesn't explain the alteration of the limestone. So is there an influence of increased CO2 during wetter climates causing alteration of clast and matrix materials? But if that's the case, the matrix isn't altered in M5 and in FT2. So I can't explain that. The infilling of calcite spar at the tops of the voids indicates later carbonate formation. Is this a signal of a climate shift from wet to arid in these soils during that time? And is this the reason behind the lack of carbonate gravels in the Mormon Mesa soil? So this, these gravels can be a source of calcium and magnesium into the system. It also reveals texture changes over time from spar to micrite and micrite to spar. And I'm going to skip this lesson and talk about it last. One important thing is that this might indicate we need to be careful in provenance studies of parent material, especially in these later stage carbonate horizons, because if carbonate gravels are not there, it doesn't mean that they weren't. And so we would need to be careful in looking at those parent materials and what it means for provenance studies. This has implications for porosity and permeability changes over time, and also makes us think about how we interpret landform, landscape dynamics over time as these late-stage petrocalcic horizons develop. Are these features here? Are they chunks of the petrocalcic horizon below, or are they features that develop through processes, something like what I've shown here today? So I'll leave it with, I don't know what's going on. So thank you for listening.